Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to the Andrew Shatkin Show at 6:30 every evening, Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, and I have to tell you that we have a very, very exciting, interesting show tonight. It'll be the issue of why our society rejects past history and the past and old books. And I will be talking, and the title of this talk will be We Stand on Their Shoulders. And I'm taking it from my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, and I think you'll enjoy it. I think it'll be stimulating and interesting. But let me get a little bit of background of myself. This is a politically incorrect show. This show does not go along with media lies, media falsehoods, or political rhetoric, left-wing or right-wing. We aim to get at the truth through critical thinking in a thoughtful, intellectual fashion. And as I stress to you many times, ladies and gentlemen, the primacy and centrality of reading books to develop your intellect sufficiently. If you don't do this, you will sink down into ignorance and darkness, which is our present society is heading to in many respects. The only problem is people in that situation don't know it because they haven't read those books and acquired the education to develop themselves in that respect. Now, also I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, and I also adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and the Nicene Creed. And if I read books, I'll read good books like C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, T.S. Eliot, people like that who have something to say to my condition. Something to say to the condition of the world. That includes St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, and many, many others, Calvin, Luther, etc., all of them, and John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress. Third, I run two radio shows, a blog talk radio show and a podcast show. Podcast show are both Christian in orientation, and although I welcome all faiths and all groups, whoever they are, Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, I welcome all to my show and to my venue, because they all have something to say to me and to contribute that I want to know about and have an interchange with them. Although I do believe Jesus to be the true God and Christianity to be the true faith, I'm not abandoning that position for any fad or fashion that's pushed on me by a fractured, silly society that doesn't think, or doesn't care to think, or can't think. The podcast show has had over 4,000 visitors from 78 countries, and the Blog Talk Radio show has had many visitors, including from Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh, India, Malaysia, Japan, United Kingdom, Ireland, Belgium, etc. And I have written 10 books, and the books are some of them are Christian books or religious books. They have sold very well nationally and internationally, all over the country and all over the world. And the Christian books are Essays in the Christian Worldview and others. The second one is Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. And the third one is a book on the parables, in which I interpret the 41 parables of the Gospels in Jesus' words and the function of his mind. And these parables are very interesting to read and understand, because they reveal the thinking of the mind of the true God. And these parables have been posted on social media and at academia.edu, as well as on my website. And I'm presently posting the sayings of Christ on a regular basis on my website and on social media and on academia.edu, where these will be made available for the benefit and hopefully knowledge that I may possess in terms of interpreting these sayings of Christ and these events in the life of Christ. I also have written 3 important journal articles, but 2 on Academicus and Albanian Scientific International Journal, which have been bought by hundreds of libraries, European, American, and Far Eastern and I'm happy to say Arab libraries in the Middle East have bought these books, and the State Department has bought two of the books, through all of the books, which are on sex discrimination. They're on the United States educational system, and they are on those are the two areas where they're, and on sex discrimination and the failure of the educational system in the United States. They have been bought by many institutions in many countries, including China, Japan, many in Germany, and all over, actually, the world. So hopefully these books, these journal articles, have had some benefit to the world system where they have been purchased and or at least subscribed to. I'm planning four more books. I finished one on the Psalms, and I have also I'm writing one on the miracles of the Bible, and putting together the blogs that I have written, essays I have written on these sayings and events in the life of Christ. Now, tonight I'm going to talk about something very, very important. That is our society's rejection of past knowledge, or not knowing the past, or not thinking or considering the great writers and thinkers of the past. So I'm going to talk about this. What I'm going to talk about tonight is kind of call it, we stand on their shoulders. So I think we stand on the shoulders of past minds, of past thinkers. Now, I'm told that children, their first grade, are given computers to figure out things. Their paragraphs and information is gained by computers or a word processor. And entertainment is functions, or knowledge is gained in the silence of the living room, staying at one's computer, looking at words in a television show, looking at images as a means of entertainment and gaining knowledge. And these images that are thrust on young people in their computers and in their television are drugs, and nobody learns anything from this. And at one time, it was quite different. The society was engaged in more complex engagement of thought. At least some people did. At one time, men read the dramatic poet monologues of Browning, Robert Browning, the great English poet, for pleasure. And men and women read the complex novels of Henry James, Charles Dickens, and George Eliot in serial form. There was a time when men and women listened to three-hour sermons of John Donne and Lancelot Andrews and then read them. There was even a public for epic poetry, such as in the 1679 publication of Milton's Paradise Lost. The world then, at least some people, because of the primacy of print, the print medium, and the complexity of these print productions, there use their minds more. It appears to be that case. People do not use their minds today. They stare at a television screen. They stare at a computer. They stare at a cell phone like a drug. Okay? So, reading tastes and habits have not only altered, but shifted to combine the visual and oral mediums. And if the printed book is not in danger of becoming extinct, it is the danger of being replaced by other more essentially attractive visual and oral images. That is what is people's eyes and minds. So what are we going to say about the relevance of the past? For example, of classical languages, Greek and Latin literature. How can we justify when people have to get a job, when they have to get a skill, when they have to learn computers and cell phones and emails? How we can justify the study of dead languages. And I say you much in every way. For better or for worse, we stand on the shoulders of the ancients, if not at their feet. Alfred North Whitehead, a great mathematician, offered the view that all Western philosophy was by way of being a footnote to Plato. He made a good point that the ancient philosophers had more insights than the modern people today. And before the Christian and Muslim God, there was the unmoved mover of Aristotle, the cause above all of the causes. And Thomas Aquinas restates Aristotle in the light of Christian revelation, and epic poetry in Homer and in Virgil are the models of that genre. And these works are of great value and have great insights. These minds of Virgil and Homer were so superior to a modern person that there is no competition at all. Mortimer Adler said in his book, How to Read a Book, said that a person to write an epic poem was the greatest challenge that could be presented by anyone to their minds and thoughts. Epic poetry and Virgil and Homer are the models, and Virgil is the guide in Dante's Divine Comedy, and Paradise Lost finds its source in Virgil. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, as Alfred North Whitehead said, all Western philosophy and thinking is by way of being a footnote to Plato and Aristotle. What do we have to say? Why do people say you're wasting your time with these thinkers? I don't think so, because they were the leading minds of all ages. Whether it's the epic poem of Virgil or Homer, or Greek tragedy, or Roman comedy, we of the West owe almost every dramatic and poetic form to the Greeks and Romans. Before Bacon and Ralph Waldo Emerson and Montaigne, there were the essays of Cicero on friendship and on moral duties. The romantic novel of today has its source and is descended from the ancient novel of Apuleius. So, the epic poetry of the past, Virgil and Homer, they are the great guides. They're the great, great products of thought. And that goes for Dante's Divine Comedy and Paradise Lost. These are models. These are the top minds of all ages who wrote these works. And so whether we talk about epic or Greek tragedy or Roman comedy, we of the West owe almost every poetic and dramatic form to the Greeks and Romans. And before Ralph Waldo Emerson and Montaigne and Bacon, there were the essays of Cicero on friendship. The romantic novel of today has its source and its descendant in the ancient novel of Apuleius. There's nothing new. All of our modern ideas found their source in ancient philosophy. They talk about feminism is the wave of the future. But Plato, I must remind you, if you don't know it, in the fifth book of the Republic, posited and went along with the full equality of women and argued for their equality in the educational, governmental, and social spheres. So Plato was the ultimate feminist. In the fifth book of the Republic, written 2,500 years ago, he posited the equality of women and argued for their equality in the educational, government, and social spheres. And communism, which has had a following for some years, not so much today, finds its ultimate model in Plato's ideal state where philosophers are kings. Communism has its model in Plato. Again, we go back to the ancients to find the source of our knowledge and the source of our ideas. If we're not to be victims of continued mistakes, ignorance, and sin, and not to limit ourselves to current fads, our own limited parochial schools of thought, that we are to step outside of our limited sphere for one day, the classics remain relevant and telling. And when I use the word classics, I mean the Greek and Roman classical literature. That is what I am referring to. If we're not to be victims of our mistakes, our ignorance, and our sin, if we're not to limit ourselves to current fads, or our own parochial schools of thought, we are to step out 1 second outside of our immediate environment, the classics, and all these great books remain relevant. They are the ultimate yardsticks. They are the ultimate source of truth. The Greeks and Romans still speak to us in their time, in their literature and art, expressing beauty, form, and original thought. We have not grown beyond them or away from them, but remain the children of Greece and Rome, growing in our minds and persons as any child does, but knowing that whatever is ideal, spiritual, metaphysical, and literary will never be severed from them. This is what I have to say. The past speaks to us and is a compelling teacher, dead or alive, advising, loving, and pointing the way out of our limitations to our continued relationship with the past. That's how Greece and Rome, these writers, they are the ultimate yardsticks. They're the ultimate thinkers. They're the ultimate people that advise us, are alive, who advise us, love us, and point us out of our limitations of our present age and generation. So when we do, I remind you, my dear parents, we do a disservice to your children when we leave them in ignorance and in the throes of a daily newspaper, the New York Post, the current modern novel, and the computer. You're doing a disservice to your children to leave them with a current, with its solely current, with the New York Post, with the New York Times, with the Economist, with the current modern novel, and the computer. You are doing your children a disservice because you are leaving them in the throes of some kind of current idea, a fad, whether feminism, Marxism, or materialism, and they are cut off from knowledge and truth. I urge you, my dear parents, do not leave your children in darkness of fads and current and fashions and whatever is new and current. Don't leave them with that disservice to think one is modern or ahead of your time because of you are in the throes of some current idea, whether feminism, Marxism, or materialism. You are being fooled and left in darkness. The classics free us from our modernity. They free us from our current thoughts that we are thrust upon us by television and radio and computers. They take us away from that. To know the classics and to know the dialogues of Plato is to know epic poetry such as Virgil, Dante, and Milton is to be a little more liberated from yourself, from the self, is to be a little freer and somewhat human, more human, that possible. We reject the classics because we are fooled by our modern thinking and made fools of it by it. And the classics liberate us from currency and modernity, and they bring us to true thought and true knowledge. And ladies and gentlemen, don't reject them. Don't reject the past. We stand on the footsteps of the past, on every great writer of the past. We depend on them for our information and knowledge, not for the New York Times, not for the Economist, not for the New York Post. They convey nothing to us, and they make fools of us as frying our minds. I hope you've enjoyed this talk, and this essay is found in entitled We Stand on Their Shoulders on page 117 and 118 of my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview. I think you'll find these books of value. Many people seem to be buying them. Many libraries across the world and across the country all have these books. Do I say I'm great? No, I'm not great, because I'm a Christian and I know I'm not much as a person. I'm a failed, imperfect, defective person, limited in my thinking, compelled and run to the ground by sin and ignorance. I know it, and I accept it, and I ask for God's grace and mercy that I be forgiven for my limitations. Okay? Thank you very much, and have a good night.